Perhaps it's because we've been to a few Good Friday services, but I think it's, we know the story, right? We know the facts. We perhaps kind of take it in stride. Yes, this is the day Jesus died, and I should remember that and be somber and serious and all those things. But I want, if I can tonight, to have us try to think of the mindset of where those first disciples, the followers of Jesus, where their minds and their hearts really were that night. Now, in truth, Jesus had told them at least three times, you know that I am going to suffer in the hands of sinners, sinful men. The rulers are going to put me to death, and on the third day I'm going to rise again. It shouldn't have been a surprise to the disciples. And yet, I would suggest to you, we maybe can relate to them a little more than we realize when we have unexpected things happen. You know, I met today a woman who was no longer caring about her health, and the social workers at the hospital were very worried about her. And through a translator, I was able to find out that 2 years earlier, her son, her only son, had died in an accident at work. And that death was, well, what parent should ever have to deal with that, right? To have a child go before them. But there was a second loss in her life, and that was now she was not going to be able to see the three beautiful daughters of her son. Her sister, her daughter-in-law, were keeping the granddaughters apart from her. And she's like, I don't care about my health. I don't care about anything. I don't have my son. I don't have my granddaughters. What's the point? And maybe, just maybe, we can tap into that same kind of feeling in our own lives. Perhaps not that dramatic or desperate. But, you know, don't we sort of have this sense that because I follow God and God's in my life, that things ought to go relatively well, there ought to be more blessings than difficulties, and then when trouble comes, we can be so surprised by it. It hits us. It's unexpected, and we're caught off guard. And I hope in that same sort of spirit, this idea, these unexpected words, just like the unexpected bill and the unexpected circumstance that hit our lives, the disciples were going through all this for the very first time, not like some of us are umpteenth time sitting here for Good Friday. They were hearing his words for the very first time, his last words. And they had special weight and meaning, and I pray that they can for us tonight. When we have those troubling times, you know, one of the first things that would be amazing is to also stop and think about the mindset of Jesus. Maybe we'd be surprised a little bit, because think of the average person. Think of the two thieves that are there. One of them's railing and wailing and complaining and saying, you know, oh, he's cursing out at this, the ones who crucified him, and he's crying out in pain, and he's even begging Jesus, mocking him. You know, his own pain isn't bad enough. He's going to mock somebody else's pain who's being crucified. And what could Jesus' mindset be in the middle of that? He's not complaining. He's not crying out. He instead is speaking words that to those who were hearing them for the first time were unexpected. How about, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Over and over again, he says, of the ones hammering the nails, of the ones who are mocking him, of the ones who are teasing him and saying, oh, why don't you come on down off the cross and we'll believe in you. Over and over, Jesus offers words of forgiveness. It's unexpected. It's really kind of surprising. He also even offers comforting words to the one thief that we just read about, who knows he's in the wrong and knows what he's about to face. And those words of forgiveness are extended and even amplified to that dying thief. Today, you'll be with me in paradise. Unexpected words. And not only is it unexpected words, but could I suggest that this is really also unexpected love. It was understandable, the mother I met today with her heartbreak and doubly more so. But if you want to really see what this looked like from the perspective of another mother, from the mother of Jesus, I highly recommend the History Channel's special series they have going on right now about the life of Jesus. It looks at his life and experience through each of their own eyes, through Mary's eyes, through Pilate's eyes, and so forth. I couldn't recommend it more highly enough. It really captures, from Mary's perspective, this gut-wrenching, heart-wrenching moment of a mother watching her child, and what it must have been like for her, and then to see him display love from the cross. Do you realize that while he is suffering and going through everything, barely able to breathe, while Jesus is becoming what the scripture says, sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God, he has this care and concern for his mother. Woman, here is your son. Son, take this woman now to be and care for as your own mother. And there's this bonding now between the Apostle John and between Mary that goes on for the rest of their lives. What I hope you'll catch out of that, though, is that in the midst of Jesus doing this worldwide, eternity-significant event, he doesn't lose his concern for the individual. He doesn't lose his concern for you. Maybe that's unexpected to you. Maybe that's a surprise. But that, in other words, while he was hanging there, he was thinking of you. He was thinking of that temptation you were going to face. He was thinking of that weakness and discouragement, thinking of the doubt that would be there in your mind. Could I ever really be good enough? Can I ever really change? And can God ever really love somebody like me that keeps making the same mistake over and over again? Thinks of us as individuals, and he is not too busy answering prayers around the world or preparing a place in heaven for every believer to be concerned about you. He's not too busy. Even now, this night, he's making sure that you know of his love, and he's doing the same for the thief on the cross. Even the message there is no person who has sinned so much that they are outside of the reach of God. No one has sinned that much that they are outside. And no sinner, not you, not me, is so far gone that Jesus isn't willing and able to give their life for them. That, friends, is huge, unexpected love. But there's more. There is also, can I say it this way, unexpected results. Given how much Jesus suffered, it's probably unexpected, isn't it, that we even call this day good? I know I scratched my head before I was a Christian. I tried to understand. If it's the worst day ever, how can we call it good? If it's the day that the one we love the most suffered the most, more than anyone ever had, how can we call it good? I know I struggle with that, but I think it's because there were unexpected results that day. Do you realize that among the crowd, there was a group of soldiers there who all they knew of Jesus was watching him die. And as they watched him die, they declared, "This man is the Son of God." That's an unexpected result. A thief who knew what his future held, that he was facing death and hell itself, that thief gets an unexpected change in his life sentence and now is going to get life eternal in heaven, always by the side of his Savior. Simon of Cyrene, who carries the cross, ends up his whole family being led to faith, and then even his one of his sons becoming one of the great leaders and teachers in the church in Rome. Mary getting a new son, and you and I getting a new eternity. There are some wonderful and unexpected results that came out of this evil that appeared to be happening, this hiddenness of God, good out of evil, life that came to you and me out of the death of Jesus. Something unexpected is happening there for us, that even as he is facing the wages of sin, even as Jesus is facing his own death, he is actually facing death for all of us. And perhaps this quote from Henri Nouwen can speak to us. I apologize. That's not all that big to read, but I will read it for you and hope that it can sink through. That death changes from being this final and depressing thing into something that's actually freeing. Henri Nouwen put it this way: Jesus' death revealed to us that we do not have to live pretending that death is not something that comes to all of us. as he hangs stretched between heaven and earth, he asks us to look our mortality straight in the face and trust that death does not have the last word. And that, friends, that is part of the unexpected good of Good Friday. Death does not have the last word. Jesus does. And Jesus, who says, I am the way to that life eternal. I am that life, and I offer it to you. I am that truth that you can hold on to and tell you who you really are and strengthen you through any circumstance in life. And I am the life that never, ever ends, and I offer it to you. That Jesus has the final word. And his word to you is love. His word to you is grace. His offer to you is unexpected and unending love and life and peace. And may that make your Friday good this night and always.